RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Nisma. First, the headline. President Joko Widodo forms Presidential Work Unit for Pancasila Ideology Education. Former President Megawati Soekarnoputri holds dialogue with Al Gore. And now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has established Presidential Regulation No. 54/2017 on Presidential Work Unit for Pancasila Ideology Education as part of a series of activities to commemorate Pancasila Day. The President said in his remarks during the commemoration ceremony of Pancasila Day at the Pancasila Building in Jakarta on Tuesday that the new institution will help and all elements of the nation will also strengthen the practice of Pancasila, which is an integral part of economic, social, political, and cultural development. The President added that all components to the nation including the government, Indonesian National Army, Indonesian National Police, and people in general should cooperate to reach the ideals of national development in accordance with Pancasila. Former Indonesian President Megawati Soekarnoputri held a dialogue with U.S. former Vice President Albert Arnold Gore or Al Gore during the Jeju Forum for Peace and Prosperity 2017 at the Jeju International Convention Center, South Korea on Tuesday. They held a closed-door meeting for about 30 minutes, Megawati informed newsmen after the meeting with Al Gore that the meeting was about climate change issues. During the meeting with Al Gore, Megawati said Indonesia is the world's biggest archipelagic country and is highly concerned over the result of global warming, which is melting ice in the Arctic South Pole and Iceland. She remarked that Al Gore also acknowledged that what is particularly worrisome in Iceland every day is the melting of tons of ice, which, if allowed to continue, is feared to raise sea levels by 2-3 meters by the middle of this century. Dozens of national from the Philippines were caught by the security offers. Dozens of national from the Philippines were caught by the security officers of coal mining company PT Lamindo Intermalticon in Bunyu Island, Bulungan Regency, North Kalimantan. Commander of the Navy base in Bunyu Island, Second Lieutenant C. M. Hirin, confirmed the information through a short message received by Antara News Agency on Thursday, June 1st. A total of 14 Filipinos were caught by the security authority for illegally entering Indonesia's territory. a security officers of the mining company first discovered two suspicious men who were holding jerry cans on Thursday morning around 7:30 a.m. local time. The men who had crossed the border had cans likely to be filled with fuel. Currently, the Filipinos are being interrogated at the island's Navy base. Hiri noted the Navy is still conducting the data and interrogation process. State-owned bank Bank Mandiri IDX BMRI is lending 1.5 trillion rupiah to Indonesia Infrastructure Finance IIF to help the non-bank financial institution support the acceleration of infrastructure development in Indonesia. IIF President Director Arisunondo Surono has said in Jakarta recently that the loan will be used to finance several infrastructure projects that are commercially viable and feasible. Bank Mandiri also gives IIF a treasury line facility with $50 million limit to hedge the company's transaction using foreign currency. The bilateral term loan is a non-resolving credit that will mature in 3 years. Bank Mandiri's government and institutional director, Kartini Sally, said that this is the second time the bank provided lending to IIF. The government has imposed a $0 excise tax for crude palm oil CPO in June 2017 because the price of commodity fell below $750 per metric ton. Director General of External Trade of Indonesian Ministry of Trade, Oke Nurwan, said in Jakarta on Tuesday, June 1st, that the Ministry of Trade fixed the reference price of CPO for excise tax at the $723.37 per metric ton after taking various recommendations into account. Nurwan stated currently the reference price of CPO falls against and remains below $750 level. Therefore, the government again imposes a $0 excise tax per metric ton for the June 2017 period. The price declined by $8.64 or 1.18% from last May 2017, namely $732.01 per metric ton. This news coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Ministry of Education and Culture, through the Directorate General of Culture, is holding an exhibition of Pancasila Archive to commemorate the birthday of Pancasila on June 1st. The ministry holds this exhibition starting from 2 to 15 June 2017 at the National Museum in Central Jakarta. The exhibition is collaboration between Directorate General of Culture Hilmar Farid said in press briefing on Thursday that it is very important for people to study the birthday of Pancasila as the philosophical foundation of the Republic of Indonesia. This exhibition can be an effort to instill the values of Pancasila.
Himpunan dokumen-dokumen ini sudah waktunya diterbitkan.
It is time to publish a collection of these documents by anyone, anytime. We expect public involvement to make these issues more interesting. Hilmar Farid further explained that the exhibition will be opened by the Minister of Education and Culture, Muhajir Effendi, on Friday, June 2, 2017. At the opening ceremony, Sukarno's speech will be read and the film Pancasila, Ideals and Reality will be screened. The archive presented include the Sutasoma books, documents on preparation of the meaning of agency, of the meeting of Agency for the Preparatory Work for Indonesian Independence, BPUPKI, the text of Sukarno's speech on Pancasila, the drafting of the 1945 Constitution, and the other important archive related to the birthday of Pancasila. And the last item, President Joko Widodo calls for all Indonesians to play an active role in maintaining Pancasila and the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia. The call was made in his speech at the ceremony commemorating the Pancasila Day at the Pancasila Building in Jakarta on Thursday. The Indonesian nation, for the first time, commemorated the birthday of Pancasila state ideology on June 1st. President Joko Widodo, as the ceremony inspector, in his speech affirmed that the government would act firmly against all forms of ideology and movement against Pancasila, the 1945 Constitution, and the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia, including communism, that is clearly prohibited in the country.
Kita harus waspada terhadap segala bentuk pemahaman dan gerakan yang tidak sesuai dengan Pancasila. Pemerintah pasti bertindak tegas terhadap organisasi yang dan gerakan.
We must be wary of all forms of understanding and movement that are inconsistent with Pancasila. The government must act firmly against anti-Pancasila organization and movement which are against the 1945 Constitution, anti the unity of the Republic of Indonesia, and anti-unity in diversity or Bhinneka Tunggal Ika. Government is also against the ideology and movement of communism that is clearly forbidden in Indonesia. Let us maintain our peace, unity, and brotherhood. Let's be polite, respectful, and tolerant to each other, and cooperate for the development of Indonesia.
Mari kita bergotong royong demi kemajuan Indonesia.
In addition, President Joko Widodo has also enacted Presidential Regulation No. 54/2017 on the Presidential Work Unit for promoting the Pancasila ideology. The institution is directly led by the President with the aim of strengthening the practice of Pancasila as part of the economic, social, political, and cultural development. And to end the news, here are the main points once again. President Joko Widodo forms Presidential Work Unit for Pancasila Ideology Education. Former President Megawati Sukarnoputri holds dialogue with Al Gore. And that was our news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hey Michelle, what are you reading?
Oh, hi Steve. I'm reading an Indonesian travel brochure. And guess what?
What?
It's really fun and challenging, you know?
Really?
Yeah. All scenery looks so beautiful. Now I can decide where to visit.
Well, how about Joglo Semarang? It is short term for Yogyakarta, Solo, and Semarang.
Oh.
And it is one of the 10 main tourism destinations in Indonesia.
Okay, I'll try to Joglo Semarang. Make your dream of having a holiday in Joglo Semar, Indonesia come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2017. Answer the following question. 1. Please mention some VOI programs and which one is your favorite. 2. When do you listen to VOI and in what language? 3. How do you listen to VOI? 4. What is your suggestions for VOI? 5. Tell us briefly, what do you know about Indonesia?
Send the answers along with your personal data, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id. VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id before August 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia.
Listener commentary today entitled U.S. Withdrawal from Paris 2015 Climate Agreement. International agreement on maintaining the world's climate is no longer supported by the United States. Officially, President of the United States Donald Trump has announced that his country withdraws from a climate agreement signed by 187 countries in Paris in 2015. The Paris Deal is the world's first comprehensive climate deal aiming to maintain the average world temperature rise below 2 degrees Celsius. To achieve the objective, many countries, including China and the United States, reduce carbon emissions resulting from industrial pollution that uses fossil fuels. The United States is the second largest country of carbon emitters after China. The United States' commitment to carbon emission reduction was realized by the signing of the Paris Deal by U.S. former President Barack Obama in 2016. President Donald Trump's decision to withdraw from the Paris Agreement is to realize his promise when he campaigned to be president. He said at the time that his intention was to abolish the deal that is contrary to the national interests of the United States. He also promised to keep strengthening the coal industry. He wants to encourage coal production to create more jobs for U.S. citizens. This action certainly ignores the agreement to reduce the world carbon emissions. As we know that the Paris Deal could just be implemented after being ratified by 55 countries from 187 that agreed. If only the United States cancels its commitments, there are still many countries that may support the Paris 2015 agreement. Thus, this could continue. Geopolitically, support is still promising because China and the European Union are on their stand. But it must be admitted that realizing Paris commitment still requires a long struggle. Secretary General of the United Nations, Antonio Guterres, said, regardless of the U.S. withdrawal, the efforts to combat climate change will continue, because the Paris Deal is one of the efforts to tackle climate change. In this regard, the increase of the global temperatures is caused not only by carbon emission due to the use of fossil fuels as industrial fuels, but also other causes. The expectation for the realization of Paris 2015 commitment emerged as the strength of European Union and China commitment sounds stronger. Both expressed their willingness to cooperate to tackle climate change by innovating industrial technology that does not threaten environmental sustainability. Listener, that was commentary. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome back to Today in History. We begin with an event on June 2, 1942, German Nazi conquered Libya. On June 2, 1945, 42 Marshal Edwin Rommel, formerly known as the Desert Fox, who was strategic expert commander of anti-mass attack operation from Germany, began his operation in North Africa. Previously, the English soldiers have invaded Libya and captured it from a German Nazi. However, through one-man operation, the German troops were able to recapture not only Biabalas, other regions around it, such as Al-Imaint and the Alexandria port city in Egypt. Their victory was worrying for the Allied forces, who predicted to control the Suez Canal. Therefore, the England went all out in the region. Finally, in November of the year, the English were able to defeat German soldiers. We continue with June 2, 1967. Protests in West Berlin against the visit of Iranian Shah became an unrest, which Benno Onesshardt was killed by the police. Benno Onesshardt was a German student who was killed by policemen on June 2, 1967 in a protest in Berlin against the visit of Iranian Shah Mohammad Reza Pahlavi to Germany. His death caused the establishment of a radical group named Second June Movement. Besides, a memorial for Onesshardt was built in Berlin, while in his hometown, Hanover, it was built a bridge across the Irmert River, both to respect his death. We end today in history with an event on June 2, 1986. Slamet Muljana, an Indonesian philologist and historian, passed away. Professor Dr. Raden Benignus Slamet Muljana, who passed away in Jakarta June 2, 1986, was an Indonesian philologist and historian. He earned his BA degree from Gajah Mada University in 1950, MA degree from University of Indonesia in 1952, doctorate in history and philology from Leuven University, Belgium in 1954. And a professor title in the University of Indonesia in 1958. Slamet had also taught in Gajah Mada University, Information Academy, and Journalistic Academy. Meanwhile, abroad, he had taught in Wolfgang Goethe Universität, Frankfurt, Germany, State University of New York, Albany, USA, and Nanjing University of Singapore. In addition, Slamet was a director of Language and Culture Institute in Singapore, as well as curator council member of Institute of Southeast Asian Studies in Singapore. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, welcome back to Focus. Today's Focus is entitled The Visit of Luxembourg Foreign Affairs Minister. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi welcomed her counterpart for Luxembourg, Jean Telbern, at Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry office in Jakarta on last Tuesday. The visit was aimed to strengthen diplomatic relations between the two countries, especially for the cooperation in banking, financial and investment sectors. Minister Retno, after the meeting with Minister Jean Telbern, said that both countries had begun quite solid bilateral relations since 2015. She also said the visit and the meeting showed commitment of both countries to make the ties even stronger. That was begun when Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kala opened a discussion on financial cooperation with Luxembourg's Prime Minister Sophia Bettel during the 17th UN General Assembly on September 29, 2015. Since then, Luxembourg investment in Indonesia has kept increasing. Minister Retno also added that she was happy to see an increase in trade value around 72% and investment value around 170% in the period 2015 until 2016. Therefore, Indonesia will hold the Indonesian Investment Roadshow in Europe, including Luxembourg, in 2019. Meanwhile, Luxembourg is going to send its business mission to Indonesia this year to increase economic cooperation of both countries. In the meeting, Indonesia will express its concern on negative complaint and discrimination against Indonesian palm oil. Both countries' foreign affairs ministers also discussed the potential of cooperation in banking and satellite sector. Meanwhile, Luxembourg Foreign Minister Jean Telbern said that his side will keep supporting the weakening position of Indonesia in financial, banking and investment sectors with European Union countries. Luxembourg's expertise in those sectors is expected to be useful for Indonesia. Later, he also discussed the bureaucracy mechanism to ease and increase Luxembourg investment in Indonesia. Besides investment and finance, Luxembourg will also keep supporting the development process of telecommunication network in Indonesia. Such network will help not only its people but also Indonesian authorities in monitoring the border areas. On the same occasion, Minister Asilburn condemned the suicide bomb plant at Kampung Melayu Bus Terminal in East Jakarta and Sun Wanted. He pointed out that the terrorism and extremism harm peace and stability, so they must be fought together. He also said Indonesia is a pluralistic country which respects the minority. Besides, Minister Asilburn also appreciated Indonesian government's action in developing democracy by holding the 10th Bali Democracy Forum next year. With the commitment of Indonesian government to protect its minorities and to uphold their pluralism values, he was certain that the relation of Indonesia and Luxembourg will become better. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana.
Indonesian President Joko Widodo has established Presidential Regulation No. 54/2017 on Presidential Work Unit for Pancasila Ideology Education as part of a series of activities to commemorate Pancasila Day. Former Indonesian President Megawati Soekarnoputri held a dialogue with U.S. former Vice President Albert Arnold Gore Al Gore during the Juju Forum for Peace and Prosperity 2017 at the Juju International Convention Center, South Korea, on Tuesday. Dozens of nationals from the Philippines were caught by the security officers of coal mining company PT Lamindo Intermulticon in Bunyu Island, Bulungan Regency, North Kalimantan. State-owned bank Bank Mandiri IDX BMRI is lending 1.5 trillion rupiah to Indonesia Infrastructure Finance IIF to help the non-bank financial institutions support the acceleration of infrastructure development in Indonesia. The government has imposed a $0 excise tax for crude palm oil CPO in June 2017 because the price of the commodity fell below $750 per metric ton. Ministry of Education and Culture through the Directorate General of Culture is holding an exhibition of Pancasila Archive to commemorate the birthday of Pancasila on June 1st. The ministry holds the exhibition starting from 2nd to 15 June 2017 at the National Museum in Central Jakarta. And the last item, President Joko Widodo calls for all Indonesians to play an active role in maintaining Pancasila and the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia. The call was made in his speech at the ceremony commemorating the Pancasila Day at the Pancasila Building in Jakarta on Thursday. And that was our news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hey Michelle, what are you reading?
Oh, hi Steve. I'm reading an Indonesian travel brochure. And guess what?
What?
It's really fun and challenging, you know?
Really?
Yeah. All scenery looks so beautiful. Now I can decide where to visit.
Well, how about Joglo Semarang? It is short term for Yogyakarta, Solo, and Semarang.
Oh.
And it is one of the 10 main tourism destinations in Indonesia.
Okay. I'll try to Joglo Semarang.
Make your dream of having a holiday in Joglo Semarang, Indonesia come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2017. Answer the following question. 1. Please mention some VOI programs and which one is your favorite. 2. When do you listen to VOI and in what language? 3. How do you listen to VOI? 4. What is your suggestions for VOI? 5. Tell us briefly, what do you know about Indonesia?
Send the answers along with your personal data, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id. VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id before August the 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia!
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. Today, citizen, is that we'll invite you to go to a tourist place in Bandung, West Java Province. So, stay with us at RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Listeners, city and Bandung Regency in West Java has always been a subscription to a vacation every weekend. This can be seen from the number of visitors who come to almost every corner of Bandung. This is because Bandung has a lot of tourist attractions and recreation, both modern and natural ones. For those who want to enjoy the different tourist atmosphere in Bandung, maybe you can visit Tebing Keraton. The location is in Cihargem Puncak Hamlet, Ciburral Village, Bandung. Listeners, to reach the location of Tebing Keraton is not difficult. From downtown of Bandung, you can go to Insinyur Haji Juanda Forest, park through Dago Pakar. And then after the gate of Hutan Raya Park, you continue the journey through the residence village to arrive at the place with a large billboard labeled Warung Bandrek. The journey from that point to the Tebing Keraton Cliff is not far away, but a step road will make it difficult for vehicles or pedestrians to pass. Therefore, you should park your vehicle in a place that has been provided around Warung Bandrek. You have to prepare 15,000 rupiah to 20,000 rupiah to continue the journey with the services of ojek that are ready to drive you to the gate of Tebing Keraton. Before entering the area of Tebing Keraton, you have to buy tickets for 11,000 for local tourists or 76,000 rupiah for foreign tourists. Ticket you can use also to go to Insinyur Haji Juanda Forest Park after you are satisfied with Tebing Keraton. Music Listeners, while walking around the area, Tebing Keraton was inaugurated by the governor of West Java in May 2017. You will be greeted by spectacular scenery. From the edge of the cliff, you will see a vast expanse of green trees lining the hills. The best time to come to the cliff, to the palace, is that before dawn arrives. If at the beach you can enjoy the sunset, in the cliff you will be amazed by the atmosphere of the slow sunrise emerging from behind the hills in the east. All the beauty makes some people believe that the name of Tebing Keraton comes from the splendor of nature and beautiful panorama. Listeners, if you want a challenge, you can take picture on the last cliff, which is a piece of stone that is a few meters from the edge of Tebing Keraton. For the safety and security of visitors, the management has provided the rope. However, visitors are expected to remain cautious. In addition, if you come around in September, bring your binoculars, because the Tebing Keraton is also a place to observe thousands of migrating birds. Our suggestions for those who want to go to Tebing Keraton include a camera to capture beautiful moments and panorama in the Tebing Keraton, and do not forget to bring a jacket in order to avoid the cold air up there. Even if you are not certified to enjoy Tebing Keraton, do not forget to use the return ticket to the Tebing Keraton to visit the Insinyur Haji Juanda Forest Park, which is not so far away. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Tebing Keraton in Bandung, West Java. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information. Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment Miscellany. Indonesian Muslims have fun activities during Ramadan besides going to the mosque. Hunting snakes to break the fast is one of them. During Ramadan, there are many stalls that sell snacks. In big cities, the stalls during Ramadan have become trend. In Semarang, central of Java, there are three places that become favorite to hunt snack for breaking the fast. Today's edition of Miscellany will inform you about the places. Semarang's potential is not only tourism object, but also the local wisdom such as historical and religious buildings.
Semarang enchanting sites are playground, natural wonder, and culinary. During Ramadan, there is special market that sells snack for breaking the fast. If you have time and you use motor vehicle to hunt snacks, don't panic. You can come to Pahlawan Street in Semarang, because there is a unique place to hunt snack by driving through system. You don't need to find a parking lot, because the sellers will come to you. Just choose what you like, pay, and take away. During Ramadan, Kauman Mosque in Semarang puts a tent that also sells many kinds of dishes such as sticky rice, juice, and many others. People of Semarang call it snack stall Semarangan. The third snack stall is located in Sendang Mulyo. The activities in this stall in the morning is like another traditional market in Indonesia. During Ramadan, this market is crowded in the afternoon with snack seller to break the fast. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany that informed you about three popular snack stalls in Semarang. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next Miscellany.
Again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Hey Michelle, what are you reading?
Oh, hi Steve. I'm reading an Indonesian travel brochure. And guess what?
What?
It's really fun and challenging, you know?
Really?
Yeah, all scenery looks so beautiful. Now I can decide where to visit.
Well, how about Joglo Semar? It is short term for Yogyakarta, Solo, and Semarang.
Oh.
And it is one of the 10 main tourism destinations in Indonesia.
Okay, I'll try to Joglo Semar.
Make your dream of having a holiday in Joglo Semar, Indonesia come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2017. Answer the following question. 1. Please mention some VOI programs and which one is your favorite. 2. When do you listen to VOI and in what language? 3. How do you listen to VOI? 4. What is your suggestions for VOI? 5. Tell us briefly, what do you know about Indonesia?
Send the answers along with your personal data, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id. VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id before August 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Anis, in our regular segment of Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. To initiate our today's Music Corner, let's listen to the Indonesian Islamic song locally known as Qasidah, performed by the Indonesian popular pop dangdut singer Cici Paramida, entitled Salawat Nabi. Not many singers in Indonesia are able to perform Qasidah song, and Cici Paramida is one of the very few singers who's able to sing this type of song perfectly. Listener, to begin our program, here is a song by Cici Paramida. Happy listening.
Aku diambil orang.
Listener, you've just listened to the song entitled Salawat Nabi by Cici Paramida. Cici grew up listening to her mother to sing Qasidah songs and joined Qasidah group and mastered the genre. After mastering Qasidah, Cici then switched to try another genre, namely Dangdut, and she mastered it fast. Cici said there are similarities between Qasidah and Dangdut. In Indonesia, there are many Qasidah groups and singers, but they are never as popular as Dangdut singers or groups. Cici Paramida officially debuted in 1993, and she still actively sings Dangdut songs until now. Listeners, let's listen to another song by Cici Paramida entitled
Terima kasih.
Listener, thank you for still being with us, the Voice of Indonesia, in a segment of Music Corner, and we are now giving you information about Indonesia's female dangdut singer, Cici Paramida. Her existence in Indonesian music scene is acknowledged by the Indonesia Dangdut Lovers after releasing 10 albums throughout her career. Among the songs she sang, there is one special song composed by Guru Soekarno Putra, the son of Indonesian first president Soekarno. Listener, to wrap up today's Music Corner, let's listen to a song by Cici Paramida entitled Wulan Merindu. Have a nice day and sampai jumpa lagi.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz. 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.